thoughts from one of the readings that Mr. Piper prepared. Isaiah chapter 9, if you would turn there first. Isaiah chapter 9. This being Palm Sunday and reflecting on the thoughts that we began with this morning from Daniel's prophecy in chapters 2 and 7. But it'd be good to remind ourselves of yet another prophecy, and there are many throughout the Old Testament, both in the prophets and some earlier ones as well, which direct our minds to the same understanding that the Messiah would be a majestic one who would rule not only over Israel, but over the world. And this prophecy often is thought of at the Christmas season, but it's appropriate for us to reflect on now. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. If you would, turn to two New Testament passages. One is in Ephesians chapter 1. So if you find Ephesians chapter 1, and once you've found that, keep your place there and turn to Romans chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 1. And then Romans chapter 5. This chapter is entitled, Christ Suffered and Died to Show the Wealth of God's Love and Grace for Sinners. And it begins this way. The measure of God's love for us is shown by two things. One is the degree of his sacrifice in saving us from the penalty of our sins. The other is the degree of our unworthiness that he would even save us. We can hear the measure of his sacrifice in those very familiar words of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. There's a measure of sacrifice in that, isn't it? We also hear it in the words, the word Christ. And now we're focusing a bit more on this theme of Palm Sunday, the word Christ. This is the name based on the Greek title Christos, or Anointed One, or Messiah. It's a term of great dignity. The Messiah was to be the King of Israel. He would conquer the Romans and bring peace and security to Israel. So the person whom God sent to save sinners was his own divine Son. His only son, and the anointed king of Israel, indeed the king of the world. That's what we read in Isaiah chapter 9, and we could read a number of other prophecies to say the same. When we add to this consideration the horrific death by crucifixion that Christ endured, it becomes clear that the sacrifice the Father and the Son made was indescribably great, even infinite. When you consider the distance between the divine and the human. But God chose to make the sacrifice to save us. The measure of his love for us increases still more when we consider our unworthiness. You have Romans chapter 5 open there. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Verse 7, one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Here's the measure of his love for us. It's the measure of our unworthiness. We deserve divine punishment, not divine sacrifice. Piper reflects, I heard someone say once, God did not die for frogs. You heard me right. God did not die for frogs. So he was responding to our value as humans. That was the person's point. But Piper responds, that turns grace on its head because we're worse off than frogs. Frogs have not sinned. They've not rebelled and treated God with the contempt of being consequential in their life. God did not have to die for frogs. They aren't bad enough. But we are. Our debt is so great that only a divine sacrifice could pay it. There's only one explanation for God's sacrifice for us, and it's not us. It's not our worthiness. It's not our value. It is, as Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 1, if you would flip there now, verse 7, we were referring to this morning. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Here's the one explanation for God's sacrifice for us. The riches of his grace. It's all free. It's not a response of our worth. It's the overflow of his infinite worth. In fact, that is what divine love is in the end. It's a passion to enthrall undeserving sinners at great cost with what will make us supremely happy forever, namely his infinite beauty. Amen. Let's ponder that a moment this evening, before we take the Lord's table together. You would bow your heads before the Lord and do business before him. Your supreme and infinite worth and beauty and value. And at the same time, in your kindness, Father, you show us our sinfulness and how repulsive that is to you, the righteous one. And that all magnifies all the more your great work for us through Christ our Lord. Thank you that the King of Israel was willing to come and humble himself and become poor for us so that we might become rich through him. Thank you for his broken body. Thank you for his shed blood. And as we remember, according to your direction this evening, his death, we pray that you would bless these moments and this remembrance, yes, to our good and to your name and to your honor. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.